Bible and turn to Psalm 78, if you would. Psalm 78, and it's mostly a home crowd here today, mostly a church crowd here today, and I just want to try to encourage you in something. I saw an article in the Detroit News about two or three weeks ago, and I just cut it out, but I thought it was interesting, and I've talked to a couple of preachers about this recently, and truly it seems like that this is a problem that we're seeing more and more and more, and a cop-out that people are using more and more and more. And it says, loving Christ, leaving church. And it's interesting, this was on the second page of the Detroit News. It wasn't even in a religious section, it was on the second page. It said, a few months ago, best-selling author Anne Rice made a very public departure from Christianity. Her words, today I quit being a Christian. I remain committed to Christ as always, but not to being a Christian. Now you sit here and you say, that is, what in the world is she talking about? Can I tell you something? That's happening more often than you think. There are people that maybe are fringe people, or people that maybe have struggled in their life that are walking away from organized Christianity, the church, and saying, you know what, I'll just cling to Christ. I don't need Christianity. You can't separate the two. Impossibility. I mean, Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. You say, yeah, well, the church isn't what it ought to be. Well, yeah, hello, wake up. Amen. And you ain't what you ought to be either, and I'm not what I ought to be either. Amen. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we better be careful as a church how we affect people. That's what this whole article is about. It's about, it talks about that the church is supposed to be a sponge that when you squeeze it, the power and the love of Christ and everything comes out and reaches people, which I agree with. That's the way we ought to be. But it says, but the church has become a rock where there's nothing can go through it and nothing comes out of it. And it's an indictment against the church. And, boy, when I read stuff like that, preacher, I don't know about you, but I wake up, I say, you know what? Well, Lord, show me if there's something in my life or help me to be able to be a help in some way so that we don't keep heading down the road that we're heading to cause reproach to your name. Amen. I want to try to encourage you with a little thought this morning. You know, everybody has their heroes they look to. Everybody has people that have meant something to them in their life. And I don't believe in worshiping men and all that, but I thank God for people who have made a difference in my life and made an impact in my life. And I can name people that you know, a bunch of names of people that you know that have really impacted my life. And but there's one person, one of my heroes, that I had an opportunity to spend time with him 3-4 different times and quality time with him. And he just so impacted my life. And it's somebody that most of you here would know. His name is Dr. Lee Robertson. Old Dr. Lee Robertson was such a gentleman. He was such a spirit-filled man of God. I believe that's why the Lord allowed him to preach up into his 90s the way he did. Because he was such a gentleman and such a man of God. I talk about people say, you know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Well, in my day and age, Lee Robertson was the Prince of Preachers. No questions in my mind. You say, what about Lee Robertson? Lee Robertson, of course, pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Pastored it up to great days where they had 6,000-8,000 people in their attendance and everything. He had, of course, started Tennessee Temple College and did a great work there while he was there. I wouldn't promote it to anybody for now, but he did a great work while he was there and everything. God used him in a great way. If we were to have Dr. Robertson here today, he's gone home to glory. But if we had him here today and if we asked him the question, Dr. Robertson, what was it about your life do you believe that God used to impact your area and to impact people for Christ the way he used you to do so? I believe if he could say one thing today, he would use one word. You say, how do you know that, Brother Martin? Well, I had the privilege of hearing him preach the last 3 or 4 years of his life. And Brother Angel, every message, he ended the same way. He was the master of a 3-point outline. He always preached a 3-point outline. And his third point, every time, was the same point. You say, what's that, Brother Martin? Compassion. Compassion. Compassion makes a difference. We'll look to some scriptures here in just a moment. But you say, well, why compassion? Hey, listen, people. Compassion is one of the greatest attributes of our God. We don't think of it that way, but we think about His mercy. We think about His long-suffering. We think about His forgiveness. We think about all those things. But those things all came because of His compassion for us. Amen. Look here in Psalm 78 real quick. Look here. The word compassion is only used 39 times in the Bible. It's used 5 times here in the Psalm. Psalm 78, talking about the children of Israel, about their rebellion against God. And then they'd come back to Him. Then they'd rebel against Him. Then they'd come back to Him over and over and over and over again. Notice what it says here. If we pick it up in verse number 35, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being, what's the next 3 words? Full of compassion. Man, I tell you what, we better thank God today that He is a God that is full of compassion. Amen. I mean, we talk about the children of Israel. You say, yeah, look at the children of Israel. Look what they did. We ain't no better than the children of Israel. Amen. We do the same things they did. Amen. We turn on Him and then things go bad in our life and we call back to Him, oh God. And He in His compassion forgives us. Takes us back in again. Amen. Look over, if you would, in Psalm 86. Same thing. Second reference. Five references in the Psalm. Second reference here. Psalm 86, verse number 12. I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forever. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, that the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set Thee before them. But Thou, O Lord, art a God. Next three words. Full of compassion. Second reference, said the same thing. God is full of compassion. Our God is full of compassion. Amen. Look over in Psalm 111. Third time it's referenced in the Psalms. Five times. Third time it's referenced in Psalms. We see the same thing. Psalm 111, verse number, we'll just look at verse 4. It says, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Amen. Thank God He's full of compassion. Psalm 112, same thing. Look down verse number 4. Unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Man, thank God that He's full of compassion. Amen. In Psalm 145, the last reference. Yeah, you got it. It's going to say the same thing. Psalm 145 in verse number 8. It says, The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And then it says, slow to anger and of great mercy. You know, we'll talk about that, Brother Caleb. We'll talk about His mercy and His love and His forgiveness and all those things. And thank God that He shows that to us. But the reason He does is because He's a God full of compassion. Amen. How many of you are thankful today that He's full of compassion? Amen. Can I ask you something then? As we sit here today, how many of you are saved, born again children of God? We're talking to the church today. Amen. How many of you believe that because you're saved and born again, you have a Holy Spirit of God, part of God that lives in you? That's me. Then if part of God lives in us and God is full of compassion, where's the compassion today? Where is our compassion today? I mean, if He's full of compassion and He lives in us, there ought to be compassion coming out of our lives today. Amen. Where's it at today? Let me give you the definition for the word compassion. The word compassion means a suffering with another. It says painful sympathy. A sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortune of another. When we are moved because we see somebody else going through distress and we reach out. That's what compassion is all about. Compassion, it says pity, regret, commiseration, which means to feel sorrow, pain, or regret for anyone in distress. Can I say something today? Compassion has no self-serving value. None. There is nothing in compassion that meets your need. It's all about the object that you're looking toward. Amen. Compassion does not look for something in return. Never does. God didn't look for anything in return when He was full of compassion to us. And when He's full of compassion to us over and over, He's not looking for anything in return other than we just recognize Him and serve Him and live for Him. Amen. Compassion, it says, is a mixed passion compounded of love and sorrow. It even says that extreme distress of an enemy even changes enmity into at least temporary affection. Amen. Compassion. You know, as I said, 39 times mentioned in the Scriptures, 28 of the 39 times the word compassion is used, it is used about God's compassion toward us or Jesus' compassion toward those He was around. It tells us in Matthew 9:36 that Jesus showed compassion to the multitudes that had no shepherd. It says in Matthew 14:14 that Jesus showed compassion to the multitudes that were sick. Amen. It says in Matthew 15:32 that Jesus showed compassion to the multitudes who had no food. Amen. Compassion. Hey, listen. Compassion causes you to do something too. Amen. You are not a person of compassion just because you sense something. It's because you reach out to do something to help somebody. That's a person with compassion. Amen. It goes on to tell us that Jesus showed compassion to the blind men in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. It said that he showed compassion to the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. And it also tells us that he had compassion on the widow of Nain with her dead son in Luke chapter 7 and raised him back to life again. Compassion. Compassion. Compassion compels us. Just remember that little simple thought. Compassion will compel you. It causes you to do something. I want to give you this morning four things out of the Scriptures that compassion will compel us to do. If we are a compassionate people, it will compel us to do these things. Let's bow for a word of prayer and I'll give them to you real quick. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be here. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts now as we search the Scriptures. I pray that you'd teach us and instruct us. Help us as a church, God, to be compassionate, just like you are. Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to give you just one or two scriptures on each point. We won't be real long today. Exodus chapter 2. Notice what it says. Exodus chapter 2. You say, that's in that story of Moses. Yeah, story of Moses. Stop and think about this for just a moment. Pharaoh had already decreed that all of the Hebrew children that are boys should be killed. Why does that? Because they were reproducing too fast. Amen. They were taking over the land of Egypt and they were in bondage. They didn't want them to take over the country, so he made that decree. Of course, we know Moses' mother had him. Secretly, she made this little ark of bulrushes and set him out there, sent his sister along with him to see what would happen, what would take place. Notice as we pick up in chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "And the daughter of Pharaoh," the one who made the decree, "came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Now stop, think just for a moment here. Her daddy's already said, kill all these boys. Wipe them out. But when she saw that little baby, I don't know a mother alive. She's a baby crying, preacher, and they're not going to have compassion toward them. But here, Pharaoh's daughter, this is beyond what we can comprehend. If she would have done what she should have done, the baby would have been killed. Why wasn't the baby killed? Because she had compassion. Compassion, first of all, will cause you or compel you to reach out to an enemy or a stranger in distress or need. She saw a little Hebrew baby, one that should have been destroyed or killed, but the compassion caused her to reach out and meet the need of the distress of that little baby. We go on to read, of course, it says here, it says in verse number 7, "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother." We love this story. Isn't that neat how God in his providence works everything out the way he does? That his mama got to nurse him and raise him up and everything. Well, why did all that happen? Because of compassion. That's why. Amen. It goes on to say, Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me." And she said, I've got compassion toward this baby. I want to be able to help this child. I want to do what I can do for this baby. It says, "And I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. She said, "Because I drew him out of the water." What a story. What a story. God in his providence would use the people of Egypt, the place where they were in bondage. You would use one individual that had compassion
to raise up in the kingdom the boy that would bring them out of bondage. How'd all that happen? Because one individual had compassion on an enemy or a stranger that was in distress. Amen. Look over, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. This is a familiar passage too, Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. The story of the Good Samaritan. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jericho to Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Oh, you'd think surely a preacher is going to help him. No. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. You'd think, surely, the ones who cared for the things of the temple, the things of the house of God, surely that they would have compassion towards somebody and help them. Surely the preacher would have compassion and help. Can I tell you, this is what I'm trying to tell you about that little thing that I read. They're looking at the church today and thinking the church hasn't got no compassion. The church isn't doing the work that they ought to do. Let's wake up and realize, hey, if it's there, if the shoe fits, let's wear it. Amen. Where's the compassion at today? But who came by and helped him? A Samaritan. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Stop. You stop to think about the power of that passage of Scripture. Samaritans were looked down upon by the children of Israel. They were cast down upon. They thought of them as nothing more than dogs. If somebody thought that of you, would you reach out to help them? An enemy, a stranger in distress or need? Let me ask you a question. Would you go out of your way to witness to a Muslim? Ooh, it's real quiet. How many of you think your soul is more important than a Muslim soul? You say, well, if I ever saw them in distress or need, they're all in distress and need. Amen. Why can't we reach out to someone that's an enemy or somebody that's a stranger in distress or need today? I'll tell you why. Because we don't have any compassion. We've got a God full of compassion that has chosen to take up residence in our life. And we suppress it. Rather than reaching out. Being children of compassion. Compassion compels us to do these things. This is what God would do. Amen. I think about how I was preaching recently in a church and talking about this thing about compassion and giving some illustration, giving some stories, and there was a lady there in the church that met me at the book table afterwards. She said, "I got to tell you a story," and I said, "Okay." She said, "Have you seen the guy that's been sitting in the back of the auditorium?" This was on Tuesday night of the service of a revival meeting. I'd been there Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night. I said, "Yeah." She said, "The guy that's the street person." I said, "Yeah, I've seen him back there. I talked to him last night. His name's Mike." She says, "Yeah." He comes in, sits on the back row with his duffel bag, right on the back row of the church there. Came very polite, very, very respectful. Came in and sat there. Matter of fact, the Monday night, they gave donuts to everybody that came in and everything. And they tried to get him to eat a donut and stuff. And he said, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm okay." Didn't take anything. Didn't want to take nothing from the church or whatever. She said, "My daughter," she said, "I when you were talking about this, I started crying inside. Because my daughter came to me about, probably 2-3 months ago and said, Mom, I gave that guy a Bible tract, and invited him to church. And she said, but you know what? I just feel like that God wants me to do something more for that man." She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, I just feel like that I'm supposed to give him some money." Yeah, everybody starts, "Oh, wait a minute. We don't give a bum money. You don't give a wino money. You don't give a street person money. You just don't do that." Amen? Come on now. That's what we think, right? Amen? So she said, well, no, honey, we can't give him any money. If you give him money, he's going to take that money and he's just going to go spend it on booze or alcohol or do some drugs or whatever. But you can't give him money. And she said, but Mom, I really feel like God wants me to give him money. And she said it was like the Holy Spirit stuck a dagger in me and said, okay, so you're going to stop your daughter from doing something. She said, okay, what do you want to give him? She said, I want to give him all my savings, my $40. She said, $40? You're going to give that man $40? She said, I just feel like that's what the Lord wants me to do. I know what y'all thinking. I know what you're thinking. Listen, she gave that Bible tract to that man. He didn't come to church. She went and handed that man $40, preacher, on Saturday night. He showed up the next morning for Sunday school. He showed up and stayed there for Sunday morning. He came back Sunday night. He came back Wednesday night. He had not missed a service in over 6 weeks. Because a young girl. Now, wait a minute. Because a young girl had compassion and showed her compassion and what God was telling her to do. That night that we're talking back there, we didn't even realize it. There's two men talking with him, led him to the Lord that night. Guess what? He got baptized the next night, too. Guess what? He didn't miss a service the whole time. He's there the whole week. Oh, I know we got our preconceived notions about everything. Amen. I know we can't reach out and do this or that. We got to be careful about that. Oh, just like God was real careful about how he dealt with you and me. Amen. Where is the compassion today? Amen. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself too. I was telling my wife on the way down here, preacher, I was saying, you know what? I said, I just get so upset with myself anymore. I used to feel for people so much more and try to do things, but it seems like the older I get, the more I struggle and battle with this thing. And I want to fight that. Why? Because our God is a compassionate God, man. He wants to do things for people. He lives in you and me. He wants to reach out to an enemy or stranger that's in distress or need. Why don't we do it? God help us. Secondly, real simple, look in 1 Peter chapter 3. The first thing compassion will compel you to do is to reach out to an enemy or a stranger in distress or need. Now, some of us can do that, but we have a harder time with this one. What's that? Reaching out to a brother or a family member in distress or need. Amen. 1 Peter, notice what it says here. In 1 Peter chapter 3, now this is the admonition, the teaching to the saints. Amen. It says here in verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Compassion. Compassion toward a brother, a family member in distress or need. You know, a little bit of compassion in the home goes a long way. Why are we having so many problems in our homes and in our families today? I'll tell you why. Because we're not a compassionate people, that's why. We're not compassionate the way that we ought to be compassionate. If we were, we wouldn't have all the struggles and battles we have. And by the way, we would be reaching out to help brothers and sisters as much as we can. Amen. I mean, especially this time, I don't know about you, but this time of the year, man, my heart's opened up even more. I want to try to help people. I want to try to. Why? But what, there's no greater time to present Christ to people than right now. This is the best time you're going to have all year long. Amen. If you can reach beyond yourself to help a stranger or an enemy, if you can reach beyond yourself to help a brother or sister that has a need. Amen. To show the love of God, the compassion of God to help them. Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Look over in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, just over the next book. Next two books. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number. Isn't it interesting? Verse 16. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can we say that we love God when we won't even be compassionate to reach out and help a brother or sister that has a need? Preacher, we talk about our churches struggling and everything. I wonder how strong our churches would be if we were churches of compassion. If we really, truly, as individuals, lived our life out, trying to let the Holy Spirit of God work through our lives to show compassion. I wonder how strong our churches will be. I wonder the impact. You know, we talk about soul winning. I'm all for soul winning. Amen. I went out this past week. I'm out every day of my life. I try to pass tracts out. I try to witness and everything. I mean, we can do all that we want to do. But I'm going to tell you what, if there ain't any compassion, you can forget it. God wants to build His church. And He don't want to add to division. Amen. He don't want to add to problems. He wants us to be a church that's reaching out and trying to help. Amen. Reaching out to help. I was thinking about how when I helped a preacher start the Bible college, there was a young man. We only had 42 students the first year of the Bible college. I was the only paid male staff, and we had a secretary that was a paid staff, and then we had a financial secretary that was just part-time. Man, we were doing everything we could do, trying to fit all the, wear the different hats and do everything, keep everything going. We had 42 students, but, boy, we had a sweet spirit, great spirit amongst the young people and everything. And after the first couple months of college, just like it always is, people started having financial problems. Amen. And it looked like some people may have to sit out or may have to go home or whatever. There was a young man at Bible college, and he had his parents were paying his way to go to college. They said, if you'll go to Bible college, we'll pay your way. So they paid his way. So he got a job while he was there, but just, you know, to take care of doing what he wanted to do or spending money and things like that. But when we started putting on the sheet there that and posting the sheet of people who, you know, were coming up on if they didn't pay their bill, they were going to have to drop. He came to the financial secretary one day and told her, he said, I want to start paying on some of these people's bills. And the financial secretary said, what? He said, well, my bill's paid for. I want to try to help these people stay. So she came to me and she said, what am I supposed to do about this? And I said, well, his bill, she said, his bill's cared for by his parents. I said, he wants to take his money and pay on their, she said, yeah. I said, if he wants to do it, let him do it. He came in almost every week and would ask who's the closest to being booted or have to go home. And almost every week, preacher, he's putting money on people's school bills from his own pocket. He'd come in tears. I sat down with him one time. I said, why are you doing this? He said, because I don't want to see him have to go. Because I don't want to see him. You know what he was saying? Because I've got compassion toward him. Nobody knows. I've never given his name. Nobody knows to this day, preacher, who that was that paid on all those kids' school bills. But God knows. God knows who had compassion. Amen. Amen. I'd tell on my son a little bit. My son Benjamin, here he's at college up there, and he called me a few weeks ago, and he said, Dad, he said, man, there's a guy in our church that's had 5 back surgeries. He's got a titanium cage in his back. He's had 2 fusions done. He had a process done where they had to go through and they had to shave off the transverse process off the right side of his spine, all those little things that come off the right side so that the sciatic nerve wouldn't be rubbing against them and everything. I mean, just continual pain. And he has to wear special shoes. Well, he's a teacher in our, he's a staff member and a teacher in our college. My son called me and said, Dad, he was in tears talking with me. He gave the guy's name. He said he came to class today and he said he was in such pain there was tears rolling down his face. He said he could not stand to teach. He said he pulled a chair up and taught us in class. And he said, I know why. I said, why? He said, because his shoes are wore out.
He said, what do you think about if I buy him a pair of shoes? I said, man, I think it'd be great. He went out and bought him a pair of shoes. Preacher, I just happened to see him. That teacher looked at me and broke down and started crying. He said, I can't believe what your son did. I didn't ask anybody for anything. I didn't. And I said, that's all right. I said, you didn't have to ask anybody for anything. Somebody saw you had a need. Somebody tried to fill it. That is the example of compassion. Where's our compassion today? How often do we see a brother or sister have a great need? And we shut up our bowels of compassion. Oh, I got money that I could put toward that. Oh, I've got a way that I could help this person. But somebody else will take care of it. Amen. Where's our compassion today? Amen. I'll give you a third one. Matthew chapter 18. It's real quiet. I hope that's good. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. I love this passage. I love this passage of Scripture. Now, I heard Brother Dawson preach on this at camp. And boy, ever since he preached on this, it just hit. Boy, it's worked me over, and I have gone back to this passage so often. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. I think Peter really from his heart meant good there. I mean, Lord, should I forgive him seven times? The Lord says, try 70 times seven. What, 490 times? No, you don't get the picture. Hey, forgive, 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 forgive. Amen. And then he gave him this little story. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I don't know if you've ever studied that out, but Brother Dawson was giving us some figures, and I went and did a little research on that. But 10,000 talents in today's silver market, if they're bartering with silver like they commonly did there, we're talking about $52 million. Think about that one. $52 million! Can you imagine owing somebody $52 million? No way, man. $52 million. And notice what it says, though. It says that, but for as much as he had not to pay, well, I don't think I have that much laying around, amen. His Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Here's somebody at their wit's end. Here's somebody at the end of their rope. They owe somebody $52 million. They're going to be locked up and put into prison. And what does he say? He falls down and begins to worship him and say, if you just have patience with me, I'll pay you it all. How in the world he would come up with that kind of money, who knows? But he was just at his wit's end. Notice what it says. It says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Father Caleb, $52 million, and you fall down, please help me. I said, you know what? Forget it. It's cared for. It's done. $52 million? What a picture of salvation. Amen. A debt bigger than what we could ever comprehend or ever pay back. Amen. And because we fell on our face in humble repentance and faith, he said, you know what? Forget it. It's cleared. It's done. You don't owe anything. Amen. Thank God for that. But wait a minute. It says in verse number 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Okay, write this down. $44.80. $44.80. Now notice what it says he did. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. I just picture him then, hey buddy, pay me up $44 now. You say that is silly. Come on, man, $52 million. And now you're going to choke somebody for $44? It's exactly what we do. Forgiving a debt that we could never, ever, ever pay back. And we'll turn to a brother or sister and hold them at bay for some offense that we think they've done to us. What does he go on to say? It says, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet. Oh, I think we saw this before. And besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. It says, but he would not.
went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me, just like us, amen. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth with him, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, verse 35 is the key. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Number three, compassion will compel you to reach out and forgive somebody that owes you a debt or has wronged you. If we really truly are children of compassion, how in the world could we not forgive a brother or sister? You say, you don't understand. You don't understand what this person's done to me. No, you don't understand the compassion God had for you. Amen. I think I've told my testimony here before about the situation that I was raised in and how my dad was so abusive and so just at times tried to burn the house down on our family, tried to kill my mom, tried to beat her half to death at times. Just terrible, terrible, terrible situations. But God has allowed me not to have any hard, bitter feelings toward him. Or how can that happen? God had compassion toward me. I got to have compassion toward him. Amen. Now, you're saying, oh, you're trying to make yourself look good. No, let me tell you something else. Here, not... Oh, when I first went into the ministry, there was a time where when we left the fire department, I was making $60,000 a year in 1996. Left the fire department, went to the camp where we had no salary, and I knew that going there, and everybody at the camp was missionary supported, and had no salary, and I had no support. So we had nothing except God. Hallelujah for that. Amen. And in the first year of the ministry, we had like $300 a month support coming in. We had to stay at the camp 6-7 months out of the year, and then we'd travel the other time. Well, after about a year, there was a guy called me, a preacher, and he said, "Hey," he said, "our church is going to take you on for missionary support." Man, I was shouting glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, man! $300 a month support for a family of seven—that's what we were living on. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me. I'm trying to get you to see what a great God there is. Amen. That took care of us and met all our needs and everything. But we were excited about it. He said, "But I want you to come to the missions conference." I said, "Okay, well, you know, when do you want us to be there?" And I didn't have to worry about trying to clear a spot on the schedule because it was all clear. Amen. I mean, it looked like a runway, man. Where do you want it? When do you want it? How do you want it? I'll be there. Amen. So we got up there and he said, "I want you all to present the ministry and all that." And we did and had the kids get up there and sing and everything, you know. And it was on a Sunday night. It was the last night of their conference. And they had a keynote speaker that was speaking every night. And he got up to speak after I got done. And as soon as he got up to speak, he walked up to the microphone, to the platform, and I was sitting over in this area over here with the family, and he looked over at me, and Brother Angel, this is what he said. "Now, Brother Martin, don't get upset at me. I'm going to help you before I'm done here." And I thought, what in the world does that mean? Well, he went on the next 5 minutes to tell the church that Brother Martin was not a missionary, and Brother Martin should not be taking missionary support, and that for me to take missionary support, I was robbing from the missionaries on the mission field. And what he went on to tell him was, he said, "I believe in what Brother Martin's doing, but," he said, "I think churches all over America should just put him in their church budget." That's the first and only time I ever heard that one, but put him in their church budget. In other words, you guys pay me for working somewhere, and you know. Well, I found myself sitting there choking a brother for $44. What do you mean? I got so upset in my heart. I mean, it's not like God wasn't taking care of us. But I started complaining to the Lord. "Come on, Lord, you know, we're only $300 a month support. We were going to get support, and look what this guy's doing." By the way, we got a call on Tuesday from that pastor, and he said, "We're not going to take you on for support at all." But listen, I held on to that thing and let it eat at me. He was on my prayer list. Amen. Just like people on your prayer list that you got something against that you won't forgive them and let go of. Amen.
I'd come to that name to pray for him. Man, he's a brother in the Lord. It was so hard to pray for him. Until he got sick. Got real sick. And boy, God really began to break my heart. I didn't realize what I was doing. I knew what I was struggling with, but and I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I began to pray for him more fervently. He ended up passing away. But when I did this study, I sat there and thought, I wonder the captivity that was over my life for those years, that I really from my heart would not forgive that brother. Why wouldn't I do it? No compassion. No compassion. Amen. And the last one, Jude 22, and I'm done. I'll just give it to you, and it's real simple. You know what Jude 22 says. Jude 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Compassion, fourthly, will compel you to reach out to the lost. Why don't we see more people being saved? Because we've lost our compassion. That's why. Amen. When are we going to reach out and try to help those people that are lost? Listen, I'll give you one illustration. I'm done. Just not long ago at our church, we have our own radio station and everything. There was a young man that came to work on a phone line there. And he was supposed to work on it at the college. But he came there that morning. And it was like 7 o'clock in the morning when nobody was at the church. And he went to where he saw some vehicles at the radio station. Walked in the door. They had a live broadcast going on. He came in and he saw that it was going on. So he just sat down and sat there and waited on the live broadcast to get done. When the live broadcast was completed, those two boys stepped outside, those two young men, and they began to talk with him. They said, you know, in their heart, they knew they should have witnessed to him, but they thought, you know what, he's on business, he's trying to work, we need to let him go. So they told him, you know what, where you need to go is over to the college. So they sent him over to the college. Well, he got to the college, and the guy that he was working with at the college was one of the best soul winners I know. I know for sure that this guy would witness to him. And he came to him. He said, you know, I need to get some parts, so I got to run up to Petoskey to get parts. He said, I'll be back in a couple hours. And that guy sat there with him by his truck. And he said, the Holy Spirit told me witness to this guy. I witnessed to him. And he said, I told the Holy Spirit, I'll witness to him when he comes back. Lord, you know everything I got to get done today. I've got to get this done and that done. We got people coming in for interviews and this and that and the other. Lord, when he comes back, I'll witness to him. He went to Petoskey, got parts, came back. Got within about 2 miles of the church, a big old S-curve there, went across the double yellow line, hit a steel hauler. Killed him. I called that guy because when I heard the story, I knew who he was working with. I called that guy and I said, hey, Brother Tom, I said, I just had to call and ask you. I said, I know you witnessed to that guy, didn't you? Dead silent. He started trembling in his voice. He said, Brother Dan, I'm so ashamed. He said, God was telling me to witness to that guy. And I kept telling him, Lord, when he comes back, when he comes back. How many times do you and I do the same thing? Why do we do that? Because we've shut up our bowels of compassion, that's why. Why are we not reaching the lost? No compassion. Why do we fail to forgive? No compassion. Why won't we meet the needs of brothers or strangers? Because of no compassion. Compassion. It says, of some have compassion, making a difference. Compassion makes all the difference. We serve a God full of compassion. Can I ask you, where's our compassion today? Bow our heads and close our eyes. Compassion, compassion, compassion. I can see Dr. Robertson with his little bony finger sticking it out there saying, compassion, compassion. It'll make the difference. You say, Brother Martin, God spoke to my heart about one of those thoughts today. Oh, I know I'm a child that lacks compassion. God's convicted me about something today. Would you pray for me, Brother Martin? You slip a hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. Maybe it's you failed to forgive somebody. Maybe you're holding something against everywhere I go. There's people that have things against parents and brothers and sisters and in their own families. And just forgive, forgive, forgive. That's what God said. Amen. Maybe you're sitting here today. You say, Brother Martin, I don't know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you pray for me? You'd slip a hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure if I died today that I would go to heaven, but I want to know that. Would you pray for me? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, I challenge you, don't
just sit in your seat, but come to an altar. What a time of the year. Christmas season. Boy, we ought to be so full of compassion, just like our God, to reach out and tell a lost world of the saving grace of our Savior. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be able to be here today. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all that they do in this area. Thank you for the lighthouse that they are. Lord, as we drove up today and saw the banner outside, keeping Christ in Christmas. And Lord, I pray that you would help that really, truly to not just be something that we post, but something that is shown forth from our hearts and our lives. God, help us to be children of compassion. Father, would you help each and every one that raised a hand? Lord, you saw the hands and you know the needs. And God, I beg you that you would help people to get right with you today and help us to get where we need to be. Help us to just be more conscious about this thing of compassion in our life. Lord, help us to daily beg you and pray that you would help us to be that children of compassion we need to be. Lord, help us today. Bless the altar time, I pray in Jesus' name. Musician plays, if God spoke to your heart. Altar's open. Compassion. 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 Where is the compassion?